crawling behind the gate. The gate swings into the stretch, and here they come. They're horsing around.
Hey, folks, it's Kelly Bell. Today, me and my partner, Michelle Gatchel, are horsing around with Lindsay Partridge of Harmony Horsemanship. Lindsay's an author, a trainer, a professional competitor, knows a lot about horses, been called, what, the horse whisperer of Canada? Hey, welcome, Lindsay. How are you?
Thanks for having me. It's great to be part of the show.
Yeah, you know, I saw some YouTube content that you put out. You were discussing, critiquing actually, the pentathlon equestrian portion from this year's Olympics. And I really wanted to talk to you about that and have you share your thoughts with our audience on Horsing Around, because you've got some very valuable insights. Start us off and tell us, what is the Olympic pentathlon?
Yeah, it the pentathlon really blew up this year. It really got a lot of attention. And basically, the pentathlon is a competition of mostly their athletes, and it has a equestrian component. So there's a swimming piece, there's a fencing piece, there's a show jumping piece, there's a bunch of different pieces that they have to do, and only one segment is the equestrian part. And so I don't really know much about the fencing part or the swimming part and all the other kind of pieces, but these athletes do an equestrian portion as well, where they do a show jumping round. And that's kind of why I got involved, because of the content that was going around and how crazy it was, and the big kind of showdown that happened with the main rider, Annika, that was leading the way into the competition. And so these athletes, they, now first off, they jump a 1.2 meter course, which is a really respectable height. And there's a lot of horse people I know who can't jump a 1.2 meter course, and they even take jumping lessons. So what they're asked to do is pretty darn tough. And I believe this was all kind of based originally, this sport, on back in the army days. It was kind of to find an all around kind of athlete. They could swim, they could run, they could fence, they could hop on a horse and go jump around. And so it was meant to be, to kind of find your all-around athlete, and they didn't need to have their own horse, because the idea is that they could just jump on any horse and be able to ride it. And so that's where a lot of the controversy lies and what happened at this year's pentathlon.
So, you know, Lindsay, let's talk about that, because you've been training, you've been riding, and one of the most, what I think, wonderful things about horses is the bond that you create with a horse, right? To mm-hmm. ride it. So obviously these people don't have a bond if they're just pick a horse out of a hat and get it, right?
For sure, they definitely don't. And there are other competitions that do that kind of style, where like at the McClay Equitation Medals, they will draw horses and they'll have to swap horses and ride other horses for a certain part. But those competitions, they're not jumping 1.2 meters, first off. And secondly, those are competitions of equestrians going in and competing, and they're competing based on looks and style, and all of that matters. Whereas for the pentathlon, none of that matters. They're jumping 1.2 meters. It's only about if you leave the rails up. And they've got some pretty crazy rules in there as well that really kind of make it a little bit more of a spectacle, shall we say. So it's not to say that you can't hop on a different horse and ride it, but they only get 20 minutes to familiarize themselves with the horse before going in. So that's a tough ask of the most experienced riders. Even myself, as a pro athlete that competes at the international level, the idea of getting on a horse for only 20 minutes and then going in to do something high level like that makes me nervous. So it's a tough ask, not impossible, because like I said, there are other competitions where they do it successfully, but the rules are very much different. And there's a big difference between taking a really good athlete who's got the balance to stay on a horse versus a horse trainer or a professional horse rider. And that's what they do, is get on a bunch of different horses, and that's their main focus. There's a big difference between the riding caliber of those people and kind of how that goes. And we really saw that play out in the pentathlon. If you see the footage, it's very obvious that a lot of these riders are excellent athletes, have excellent balance, and were able to stay on through some really sketchy jumps, but they weren't able to set the horses up for proper distances a lot of the time. We saw lots of horses chipping in, going too long, getting flat on the forehand, taking out strides, like riding a 5-stride line in 4 strides, all sorts of kind of potentially dangerous riding. And we saw that happen. We saw lots of crashes. We saw people falling off. We saw lots of horses taking out multiple rails. So we're not talking about they just barely rubbed a rail. We're talking about they jumped up in the air and they knocked like 4 of the poles off the jump because the horse didn't get off the ground safely and properly. So there's definitely a lot to be discussed here for sure.
Let me try to sum up, just for our listeners who may not have seen this viral footage, what led us to talk about this controversy. Yeah. Annika Schul, is it Schul or Schulie?
Schlu.
Schlu. Annika Schlu was given a horse named Saint Boy. She comes out to do this portion. The horse absolutely refuses to cooperate. The coach kind of punches the horse in the buttocks pretty softly, just giving it a pat to kind of get it to go. That became a huge controversy. You know, there was all this viral about coach punches horse in pentathlon. And then there were these still photos and videos of this horse, and his face is just wild and he looks crazed in the eye, and the rider is grimacing in tears. And she was set up for gold medal. And because of this, all her dreams were shattered and she could not get this horse to work with her and take the jumps. Does that kind of sum up the drama of all that pretty well?
Yeah, I can. I'll give you guys a little bit more insight. So Saint Boy actually had already come into the ring. So one of the crazy rules is that the horses go twice. And so there are 36 riders and there are 18 horses and everybody draws a horse and each horse is going to have to go twice. So Saint Boy actually had already come out into the ring with a different rider. And I actually have all the footage. So the footage is getting pulled off of many, many spots, but I pulled it all. I recorded it on my computer, so I actually have it. And the rider is I'm gonna butcher this name, but Gulnaz Gubadolina. I know I'm saying that horribly wrong, but she rides Saint Boy first, and she comes out, and the round is not awful to start with. So because a lot of people are blaming the horse or saying this horse is bad and things like that. And so she comes in and she goes to the first fence and it has a decent takeoff spot, but she falls on the horse. If you watch the footage, she falls onto the horse's neck. She yanks on its face on the landing, like she lands, and the way she gets up, she pulls on that horse's face so hard. And if you look at her legs, they swing right back. Like I swear they go right up over the top of the horse's back on the landing. So maybe, you know, this, they have only known each other for 20 minutes. It wasn't good. Then they ride into a pink oxer and they ride it just fine. She comes into the next fence and she gets the horse in way too deep. So fence 3, she gets that horse way too deep. There's no way he could jump that safely. So he refuses. She brings him around again. She's giving him a new approach and she gets over the jump just fine. And she gives it a decent release. She comes into the next jump. It's an oxer. He gives a really nice big effort. She gets over it cleanly, no problem. She comes around. She's got another vertical, jumps it, no problem. So this horse can jump the 1.2 meters. She even comes into the next set of fences, which is a double combination, a vertical to an oxer. She gets in, no problem, up and over. And then she makes the turn. And the issue lies when the horse gets kind of going away from the rail of the fence. He comes to another oxer and he does another refusal and kind of says no. She circles back. So now she's had 2 refusals, which in any normal show jumping event, the horse would be disqualified. So she does that oxer, she gets into another oxer, goes for it. And then when he goes to turn away from the out gate, the horse basically says enough is enough. And he stops and he doesn't want to go. It's a vertical. So it's not even a really difficult jump compared to the fact that he's already gone through a double combination. He's already done multiple oxers with her, but he's just kind of saying like, enough. You aren't giving me a full release over the fences, and I don't trust you. I don't want to be part of this competition anymore. And he basically says no. And there's, I forget how long they let her stay in the ring for, but she stays in the ring for quite a while trying to get this horse to continue going, which he just says no, and gets pulled out of the competition. So when Annika goes to ride, she's the second rider on this horse. This horse has already successfully now said, nope, don't feel like jumping. And so he's coming in kind of already not having worked through this stress attack that he's already had. And so Annika's going into the ring at a real disadvantage. The horse has already had multiple refusals, three refusals. He's been yanked on. It hasn't gone well. And then he's gotten to leave the ring on an unsuccessful note. And anybody who does any type of horse training knows that it's so important that a horse leaves the ring on a successful note, which is why often in jumping competitions, if you have a bad round and you get disqualified, you can often ask the judge to take a courtesy fence so your horse leaves on a better note and they can at least leave going over a jump that they've already done before to get out. So everybody's blaming, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people are blaming the horse and saying the horse wasn't prepared. The horse went in and put in a great effort with this first rider, and then it really all fell apart.
Let's take a break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about the Olympics and what they did to look out for the welfare of the horse or the rider, and what they didn't do.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is over $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing. The mission of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. To learn more about the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, go to OHHA.com. That's OHHA.com.
It's mud season. Are you looking for a fix in a muddy situation? Cashman's has you covered, offering innovative mud control solutions. We are also your number one source for the best deals on rubber mats for multi-use flooring, perfect for horse stalls, garages, and gyms. Cashman's Horse Equipment has been serving the equine community for over 40 years. Come and visit our location in Delaware, Ohio, and shop over 10 acres of equine farm and livestock supplies. Shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Be sure to catch the new podcast, The Top of the Stretch, presented by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. The podcast keeps fans of racing in the Buckeye State up to date on various topics concerning the sport of harness racing. The news and views of top officials, owners, trainers, drivers, and breeders in Ohio. That's the all-new podcast, Top of the Stretch, on the Facebook page of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Be there!
Welcome back to Horsing Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel, and I'm here with my co-host Kelly Bell, and we are here with Lindsay Partridge from Canada talking about an event at the Olympics, the Pentathlon. And there is a stretch of the five events. There's swimming and running and shooting and sword fighting and then horse jumping. But the catch is this competition is putting riders with horses that they have never ridden before to do jumps that are like higher than most regular jumping athletes do. It feels like this event is set up for failure for both the horse and the rider, and the welfare of both. Like, what safety measures did the Olympics put in place to make sure that the welfare was taken care of for both entities? You know, and I know that there's criticism out there that it was the horse's fault. And then there's the other side of people saying it's the rider's fault.
And it's really hard to say. I hate harping on them, the rider, because she's only known the horse for 20 minutes. And if you watch it, she has a bad first fence. It's legitimately bad. She yanks on the horse, her legs fly up, but she's also only known the horse for 20 minutes. And the fences after that are not that awful. Mm-hmm. And so what we know about horses is that certain horses are more forgiving than other horses. And there's actually a horse that rides right before this one in the order of go called Beauty. And Beauty is clearly a schoolmaster that does not care at all, because the rider that's on her, literally in the triple combination, the rider is on her neck, arms wrapped around her neck, holding on. And she stays on, and Beauty just keeps jumping and just keeps going and just hauls her all the way through the course. And she's not helping her out at all. She's actually getting in Beauty's way, being on her neck. And this other rider that was on St. Boy comparatively was not that bad, but St. Boy more sensitive and decides to put on the brakes. But I agree with you that they're not looking out for horse welfare. And you can see that in the rules, because in normal show jumping rules, if you have two refusals, you're out. If you fall off your horse, you're out. And those rules don't apply to the pentathlon. You can have four refusals before you can request a different horse, which is a crazy rule as well, but four refusals. And if you fall off your horse, you're allowed to get back on and try riding again. And the crazier part is that if you fall off your horse and you don't knock down a rail, the clock doesn't stop. So you have to just turn and re-go and, you know, be as fast as you can to turn around and get going. So you got to get back on your horse as fast as possible and like beeline it at the fence if you want to stay within your time. But if you crash hard enough that you knock down the jump and fall off at the same time. So if you do a worse job, the clock stops, you get to regroup, get back on your horse. So you actually have an advantage if you crash harder than if you crash softly. It's like, it's really bizarre. And four refusals is a huge number of refusals. And this part boggles my mind because so Annika, in her case, the horse had three refusals. So she petitioned and asked for a second horse, which is a rule that you're allowed to do. But because the horse had three refusals, not four, they wouldn't give her a different horse, which is kind of, it's crazy to think about because the first rider should also get to re-ride. But what do you mean he didn't have four refusals? He refused to do the rest of the course. So doesn't that mean he actually refused like eight jumps because he wouldn't do the rest of the whole course? Like she couldn't even get there. Yeah. So it's just really, really bizarre that they want them to fail so badly before they're willing to step in and either offer a different horse, you know, because clearly he wasn't suitable for the competition, not because he wasn't capable of jumping the 1.2 meters, very talented horse. If you watch his first few fences with the first rider, but not capable of the competition in the sense that it looks like he's used to a rider that's more in tune with him. It doesn't look like a horse that can handle having, you know, these different riders getting on, going into this different, you know, he didn't want to participate. And that's okay. He doesn't have to be like that. But I worry about St. Boy, you know, what's going to happen to him now, because his confidence, he's had two really awful experiences in the ring at this level.
Yeah.
Building him up from that is going to be really, really challenging. There's,
the owner
of St. Boy is? I do not know who the owner of St. Boy is, but they're going to have a bit of a pickle ahead of them retraining him to get his confidence up. And he is a very talented horse. If you watch him jump, I mean, he clears those oxers with room to spare, and that's no small feat. Just didn't want to play ball with people he didn't know.
You know, this is an area that I'd really like to get into in the interview. You have written a book about how to work with horses, how to develop these kind of psychological partnerships with them. You train people on this. You know, I've done some of this work with reactive dogs, and setting these dogs up for success is so important, especially when you're dealing with one that's been traumatized in the past. And if you have 15 successful interactions socializing these animals not to lose their minds and be reactive, and then you have one bad experience, it can set your training back by 6 months. So it seems to me in the Olympics, the judges should be trying to set the horses up for success and judging the riders based on their ability to create successes and work through challenges, instead of setting it up so that you want the riders to fail so that you have a winner that's obvious from the, I mean, it's backwards the way they're doing it. Can you address that issue and the psychological impact on the animal?
Yeah, the psychological impact is huge for sure. The best analogy that I've heard of is you can fill a bucket of water and it can take a long time to fill that bucket of water, depending on how big the hose is. But you can very easily knock it and tip it over and all that water can spill out. And then you have to start from the bottom again and fill that bucket back up. And that's very much how building confidence is. And I do a lot of work with equine relationships. I have a second chances program. I'm actually a public health nurse as well with a bachelor's degree in health sciences and worked in positive mental health for many years. And what I essentially do is take my positive mental health training and apply it to horses, because horses, even though we're different species, we experience the same emotions. We still have fear, joy, anxiety, all of those pieces. And we also have a lot of the same hormones that go through us, like you said, with adrenaline, with our endorphins, all of those types of things. So it actually works incredibly well. And one of the things that we know that's so important when you overcome fears is that if you spike an adrenaline rush, it is so important that you stick with the situation, even if you have to modify it in some way, until you can come down off of that adrenaline rush and find some type of relaxation. That is crucial. And so the ability to take a courtesy jump and leave the ring on a good note is so important for the horse's well-being. And so the fact that that didn't happen is really setting that horse up to fail. So it's no surprise that when Annika tried to take the horse in the ring, she's at a huge disadvantage and the horse is at a massive disadvantage. And then he leaves the ring again on a bad note. So twice now it's happened. So he is just going to spike higher on adrenaline the next time he goes into a ring like that. And he's really going to need somebody that can help set him up for success. And that might mean he needs to go in and do lower jumps, but the height of the jump really wasn't the issue here. It was more seemed to be that he wasn't being ridden the way he was comfortable. And so then he put on the brakes and said, enough is enough. So maybe being ridden by somebody who knows, he trusts, that's more comfortable with him, but they're still going to have a real effort going into a stadium like that and need to be set up for success. It's going to be really, really tough. And it's really hard to say we can't paint all horses or all people with the same brush. And what I always tell people is, you're right that the neural pathways have to be reset. And the same way that we don't think about breathing, we don't think about walking, we just do it, our brains create automatic pathways for other things as well. And so this horse now has an automatic pathway. He walks into a stadium like that and he says no. And it's going to take time for his brain to learn a different pathway. How much time? We don't know. Different for each individual.
Well, you know, something else I'd like to touch on is, if we are going to put animals into competitions, we have to do it in a way that animals have a right of refusal, mm-hmm. that they have an opportunity to make some of their own choices, set up as a partnership so that the athlete working with the horse is earning the points based on doing right by the animal. And I think that's what's missing in this modern equation.
It's tricky, and I agree with what you're saying, and you have to be so careful though, because you don't want it to become like figure skating where it's very hard, like it's very subjective. So it's easy, it's nice if it stays black and white, but they have to change the rules to support what you're saying, because the horse has to have more of a say. And we need to be like, I don't even know who would volunteer their horse to be put in a situation like that. Like, no, you are not touching any of my horses or something like that. But like the four refusal rule is just insanity, because you're basically saying like, go ahead, try, fail, whatever. You can try again. Yeah, you can try again, whatever. So that's a problem right there. The number of refusals is definitely a problem. The fact that you're allowed to fall off your horse and get back on and do it again also is a problem, because you're not caring as much. Like, of course you want to stay on the horse, but if they made it more like regular show jumping, only two refusals and you're out. If you fall off, you're out. And then they could even do something else. Like they could take away the crop, or they could take away the spurs. So that way you're riding off of your seat and your hands and your legs and not relying on, because I mean, the amount of whipping we saw of Saint Boy, you know, was really sad to watch. And I feel for both the horse and the rider. A lot of people are really coming down on Annika. She's a horrible person. She's hitting the horse, yada, yada, yada. And yeah, she's being hard on the horse for sure. She's also in an incredibly stressful situation. And I can commiserate. If I were to put myself in that shoes, you know, you're holding on to your Olympic gold medal. This is your moment. You know, it's luck of the draw, and your horse is not wanting to even try for you. you know, you're distraught. Like, this is what you've been building up your whole life's work to do, and it's all coming crashing down. I can understand the mental state she was in and how awful that was. And the fact that nobody was able to step in and say, like, this horse, like, that horse should have been pulled. The fact that there was nobody there to speak for the horse to say, like, this is ridiculous. This horse should not be in this competition, and give her a second horse. And it's not about the medal at that point. It's about the horse. If the horse isn't even willing to even go to the first fence, why, like, what are you doing? Like, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm. Now, we only have about a minute, but I wanted to ask you, what would you like to see happen?
I would love to see them change the rules. If they want to stay with show jumping, then they need to change the rules to be more consistent with show jumping, because the two refusal rule, the fall off rule, those are all in place for horse welfare. They need to change the rule that if a horse has four refusals that it can go again. That's kind of crazy. Like, if they have two refusals, they should not be able to go again. I think it'd be better if they could bring their own horses, because then they would have a bond with that horse, or they could have more time with the horse to get to know them. Maybe they have a couple of days where they can have some short sessions, or maybe they lower the height of the fences. So instead of 1.2 meters, they're doing 1 meter, because that would make it less strenuous on the horses. So I think it's something that needs more discussion. There's lots of great ideas that I've seen people commenting around social media of different ideas, and they could definitely put together a panel of experts from horse trainers, from show jumpers, from athletes to figure out what would be fair for both horses and riders, but they can't leave it the way it is. Yeah. I think that would be irresponsible at this point.
It's been so exciting talking to you. Can you take us out by telling us about your website, your book, and some of the training that you offer to folks and how they can reach out to you?
Thank you. Yeah. So Harmony Horsemanship, the easiest way to find us is go to harmonyhorsemanship.com. We're the number one equine relationship training program. And if you go there, you can find other Harmony Horsemanship and certified instructors. You can find our online courses, all that kind of stuff. And we have a bunch of free resources as well. And you can check me out on YouTube. I post videos. I do vlog videos with my Mustangs and my Thoroughbreds, all the different horses that I'm training. And you can get lots of free tips as well. So we'd love for you to check us out.
Great. Well, Lindsay, thanks again for joining us here on Horsing Around and really helping shed light onto this Olympic sport and how it isn't looking out for animal welfare at this point in time.
Yeah, and the bright side being that there's opportunity to change.
Getting better every day.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And that concludes this episode. We'll see you next week for some more Horsing Around.